Yeah, Rush is out today, but he's going to be back tomorrow with authentic, full-strength, all-American excellence in broadcasting. Sidney Powell is someone who has done the work of hundreds, basically, given what she was up against. Basically, she single-handedly has pulled Michael Flynn out of the pit of hell into which he was lowered, not only by corrupt investigators and corrupt prosecutors, but also by his own former legal team. She replaced them, and just as they've got to the top of the pit and he's getting his fingernails onto the surface again and to get out of there and get on with his life, we have a judge who wants to keep the case going. Sidney Powell joins us now. And Sidney, your brief is a terrific brief, your writ for mandamus. And I would love people to actually go to sidneypowell.com and read it for themselves. But halfway through there, you actually quote John Roberts, the Chief Justice, in his own confirmation hearing, when he said that the job of a judge, his job and the job of all judges, is to call balls and strikes and not to pitch or bat. And you somehow wound up with a judge in the Flynn case who's energetically pitching and batting, even though both the prosecution and the defense have said the game's over.
And worse than that, we said he's way out in left field, and actually he's out in left field by himself because there's no precedent for what he's doing here, and he's trying to convert himself essentially from being a judge to being a prosecutor by appointing a special person referred to as an amicus, as friend of the court, the Latin phrase, to act as a prosecutor himself. It's absolutely extraordinary, and the Supreme Court and the D.C. Circuit have opinions outstanding, including a unanimous Supreme Court decision from just 2 weeks ago, authored by Justice Ginsburg, that he can't do this.
Yeah, and the thing about this is when you watch it on MSNBC or something, they talk about this as if it's normal, because that phrase, an amicus brief, people have heard it on legal shows, and you have it in civil cases. I had some, up in Canada, I had some guy file an amicus brief when I was sued, saying that I was a hate monger, and I wasn't entitled to the protection of free speech laws and all the rest of it. But you don't have amicus briefs in criminal cases. And he's basically just read that. He's read the entire laws of civil procedure into the criminal code with this order of his.
That, and he's also created his own issues in the case, which is completely forbidden. The Department of Justice moved to dismiss the case against General Flynn because they found extraordinary exculpatory evidence that shows no crime was committed by him that the Department of Justice and the special counsel have hidden for 3 years, actually. And the entire, quote, case against him, end quote, was fabricated. They made it all up. And he was honest with the FBI agents who came to interview him. They failed to write down things he did say. They put things in the 302 that he did not say, and then used that to say he made false statements. He told them the truth. They knew he told them the truth. They went and reported in three different hour-long briefings to higher-ups in the FBI and the DOJ that he had been honest with them in the interview, that he certainly believed what he was saying was true, which is one of the standards for intent. And there's no basis on which to prosecute him for anything. If anybody's prosecuted out of the Flynn case, it should be the SCO operatives and the FBI agents who fabricated the 302.
Well, let me just have
their own text messages showing that they did it.
Well, let me just ask you about that, actually, because I read the brief, and you've asked not only for the case to be dismissed, but for this judge to be removed from the case. And is that because in the event you've got all basically, I don't know what the federal rules are, but you've basically got, in most jurisdictions, you've got all the elements for malicious prosecution. whatever they are, the four or five or six that you need for a malicious prosecution case. Are you asking the judge to be removed here? Because in the event you did actually want to complain about individual agents or individual Department of Justice officials, this judge would be the one still sitting on the case.
Well, because of his obvious bias that has done nothing but increase, apparently, as the case has gone on, he should not continue to serve as the judge on this case. His actions in going and appointing this person to represent the judge's own interests, actually, in becoming a prosecutor is so far beyond the pale, it simply cannot stand. Anything that we might bring against any other, you know, any government official would not be within this case. We've already called them out by name.
Okay.
But he's been so adamant and so extreme in the things he's done here. He just can't continue to sit on the case from our perspective and give any measure of fairness or appearance of fairness at all.
Now, you mentioned this latest wacky development of his, which is not just that he's invited amicus briefs from anyone who wants to chip in. This judge, Sullivan, has actually appointed another judge to serve as a kind of substitute prosecutor and find reasons to throw the book at your client. I can't think of any other case in the common law world where that has happened, because basically a judge has appointed this second judge he's appointed is like a French style examining magistrate, investigating magistrate. In other words, they're doing without the prosecutor. They say, okay, prosecution, we'll see you some other day. And they've appointed a judge prosecutor. Have you ever known anything like that ever before? I can't think of anything.
No, and I've been practicing longer than I wanted. And I've never seen it.
And what stage have we reached? Because he's getting a serious hearing from people on MSNBC and CNN for something that is self-evidently ridiculous by his own standards. You have this hilarious bit halfway through the brief where you're citing case law like lawyers do, and you have this quote from some other case, from a judicial order, quote, "The federal rules of criminal procedure do not provide for intervention by third parties in criminal cases." And you think, oh, that's an interesting case. And it turns out to be signed by Judge Emmett Sullivan a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. So in other words, 3 years ago, he seemed to be a normal judge. Flynn has basically deranged him.
He denied intervention. Judge Sullivan denied intervention in this case by third parties 24 times over the course of the case until the Department of Justice moved to dismiss it because of all the exculpatory evidence the new review uncovered.
Right. Why do you think he's doing this, though? Because it's so brazen. One of the reasons for the damage to your client's reputation, I said a few minutes ago, is not necessarily because of things that the prosecution said, but actually just from the judge's remarks at what was meant to be his sentencing hearing, where the judge suddenly starts saying he's guilty of treason.
Yes, the mere suggestion, the mere hearing of the word treason in that courtroom reverberated literally around the world. And he took a recess, and it reverberated in the press for that hour he was on recess internationally.
Right.
And then he comes back on the bench, and he sort of walks it back a bit. But the damage had already been done, and it was extraordinary. And for a 33-year veteran of the United States military who has nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters still serving, to even utter the word treason in the same room he's in with any sort of pointed accusation at him, he might as well have driven a wooden stake through his heart. I mean, you could feel it through the whole courtroom. It was horrible.
Why is he still on the bench? I mean, could it have been, could you have moved for him to recuse himself? Because treason is the most serious crime there is. And if a judge, above all things, should weigh his words, so if he's actually accusing the defendant of a hanging offense, he shouldn't make that lightly. Why couldn't he have been taken off the case then?
Well, some lawyers probably would have filed a motion to recuse when they came in the case at the time I did, or shortly after that. It was actually 6 months after those words were uttered when I came into the case. And at that point, I thought, well, you know, perhaps he was provided wrong information from the government, because the government gave him sealed filings that the defense never saw. So I don't know what all information Judge Sullivan saw. I still don't know. So we gave him the benefit of the doubt that he had been provided incorrect information that may have led him to make those remarks, and proceeded on, knowing he was the judge in the Stevens case who excoriated the government for hiding Brady. I knew Brady was being hidden with his reputation as being the Brady judge. I mean, I've only bragged on him for 6 years about holding the government responsible for producing exculpatory evidence to the defense. I really believed he would order the government to produce at least the documents that they themselves had identified as having exculpatory information, but had only given us very short, insufficient summaries of.
He didn't even do that. No, that was, I think, the moment when most of us realized this is a rather strange and bizarre judge. But in this case, the idea is that the prosecution and the defense are now agreed that the case should be dismissed, and courthouses are meant to adjudicate controversies, and there's no controversy here because the only two parties agree. And yet he has some end game here. Now, in the event that, say, the appeals court does not actually crush this thing, what do you think his plan here is? To find something he can throw your client in jail for, even if he has to torture the rules of the court to do it? Is that what you think he's up to?
That seems to be his goal. But if the appeals court doesn't grant it, we'll seek a petition to the Supreme Court.
Oh, okay. Because you can't find any case law that supports what he's doing, and you can find actually quite a few simple, bold, declarative, and I think in one case a unanimous judgment saying that this judge is a judge who is becoming a judge prosecutor. You have a cute line in here from Richard Posner, not a guy I'm terribly fond of, but it is a cute line. The judge is playing U.S. attorney. It's a position that he could fill with distinction, but it's occupied by another person. In this case, the U.S. attorney has effectively withdrawn from the case, and the judge is basically saying, I don't care, I'm happy to play both roles.
Right. Yeah, it's not hard to get a conviction when the same person is judge, jury, and executioner.
And what's so weird about it is because people think this is actually an important, why the Supreme Court should consider it, is because if this judge got away with it, if you think about somebody at your county court who gets accused of shoplifting and the county attorney decides to drop the case, it would be extraordinary for your local judge to say, well, I don't care, I want to keep it going. This would set a terrible precedent if it would be allowed to stand.
Oh, it's totally unconstitutional. There's no way it can stand. Absolutely no way. I mean, Justice Ginsburg is the one who authored the unanimous Supreme Court decision just 2 weeks ago. I think it was May 7th that came out, that makes clear the judge can't create new issues in a case and call in a meezy to present them for him. And that's exactly what this judge is doing.
Well, I hope...
Because it's a criminal case.
Yeah, I hope they still feel like that. This is extraordinary, Sydney. As I said, General Flynn owes you everything. You're almost at the finish line. You can see sunlight out of the pit of hell, and I hope you really take it to this judge, and the appellate guys support you on this. Thanks very much for joining us on the Rush Limbaugh Show. It's been a pleasure. We will have a lot more after this.